Well, lots of different items again today, and let's start with something that Andrew Piper received in the post the other day. I've got it in my hand now. It's a cardboard disc about 6 inches in diameter, and it's divided into 24 segments, 24 hours in the day, with the hours in Greenwich Mean Time marked on the outside on the circumference, and then in the next circle inwards what I think are local times, on from there to a series of colours coming nearer and nearer to the centre. And, now frequencies mentioned here, so I'm going to pass it over to Andrew to amplify what I've already said about it.
Yes, each of those colours is in fact a frequency of a station. This is a circular frequency chart sent in by Bill Ikes, who's from the United States, and he just thought it was a novelty I ought to see, and I must admit I'm very impressed with it. It's very attractive. Its advantage is that you could place it, I think, at the hour you're on and see what frequencies you're on quite quickly. And when you get to midnight Greenwich Mean Time, you don't have to go to the other end of the frequency chart and start again. It carries on and on round the circle. It's rather attractive. But Bill wrote to me, not just because of that, but I think in response to some advice I gave in Waveguide a few weeks back about logging scales. These are bits of paper you can stick on your radio to sort of log down stations you hear. And he has another idea, literally, to play it by ear, not look at the dial at all, but to do something which he calls an auditory memory map. And that really means tuning your way from one end of a band to the other at a particular time and trying to identify each station in turn, noting them as you go, you know, in terms of what the station is, what language it's in, and the strength of the signal. And then you can use the loud, stable signals, the ones that jump out at you, if you like, as sort of markers, landmarks for the weaker ones. And if you want to find one of the weaker stations, you tune to a strong one and then a little to the left, a little to the right. And you can devise a sort of chart, a map of that particular band. So you don't need to use the dial at all, just use your ears. And he says that there's one other advantage of this. You can discover all sorts of good things on shortwaves unexpectedly by just ploughing across a band like this.
Very ingenious, yes. Well, of course, that's how to receive frequencies that you do want to listen to. But sometimes you get stations that you were not expecting and perhaps didn't want to hear. For instance, Ken Hurst wrote to us the other day. He lives on the island of Cyprus and often gets reception on VHF FM from as far as 100 miles away. But he tells us, this last Sunday, I was suddenly astonished to hear a German voice claiming to emanate from Austria. This was on about 92 megahertz, quite clear and of excellent volume, though subject to some fading. They were playing Tyrolean music with some yodeling. Well, Andrew, does this surprise you?
Well, no, you can get Tyrolean music with yodeling from an Austrian station quite often.
The distance, I think, is what...
Yes, OK, I'll come quietly. Yes, it is amazing, because VHF transmissions are strictly for very local broadcasting in a very small area from the transmitter. But sometimes the ionosphere can play tricks and produce what is called sporadic E effect, blinding you with science now. Occasionally, particularly at night, a sort of rogue layer of the ionosphere will produce odd effects, things like reflecting high frequencies at night, which is against all the rules, and even reflecting VHF signals over long distances. VHF starts behaving rather like shortwaves. So it could be that. But I prefer another theory, which is connected with temperature inversion. Sorry, a lot of terms being bandied around today, but usually when you go upwards from the Earth's surface, the temperature gets cooler. But in certain weather conditions, you get a pocket of warm air high up, which traps the cold air below. And this pocket of warm air can do odd things with VHF transmissions and reflect them rather like the ionosphere does.
I see, and it will carry yodeling like it does up and down the mountain passes.
All the way to Cyprus. Oh, by the way, there is a scientific term for this effect. It's called ducting. Ducting, there's another term to jot down in your notebooks.
Well, while our listeners are doing that, we'll duct you away and talk about aerials. First, a letter from a satisfied customer in Sierra Leone, West Africa. Eric Sandy writes from Koidu Town in Kono District. I listened to two waveguide programs recently, and I found the information you gave on aerials very easy to apply to my small radio set. I took a coated wire about 7 meters long from my bedside, passed it over two nails sticking out of the walls, and then through the louvered wooden walls to the outside, where it just sticks out, pointing westwards. The result of this little mechanical work, based on your information, has been very good. The reception of signals from BBC and VOA has increased tremendously. Well, Mr. Sandy, of course, we're delighted that our advice has worked out so happily for you. But Jacob Varghese of Trivandrum in the very southern tip of India is not so happy. He used to hear us clearly, but now he says we are in dire straits. None of the frequencies that reach southern India seem to be coming out of his radio as they should, and this in spite of his having put up a 10-metre-long aerial 30 feet up in the air. Mike Still has been looking at Mr. Varghese's letter. Mike, first of all, he says that three frequencies that used to be good, 15.31 megahertz from Mazira and 9.74 and 11.75 from Singapore, are now not much good. 15.31 fades out after 13 hours Greenwich Mean Time. 9.74 sounds often as if it's being strangled at the throat. And 11.75 is only audible for some of the time. What do you have to say about that, Mike?
Well, that's something of a surprise to me, because I thought that 15.31 megahertz and 9.74 megahertz in particular worked extremely well throughout India. That certainly seems to be the pattern that comes in from our regular reception reports. In fact, I've been looking at reception reports from Colombo, which, in terms of South Asia, is not really so far from Trivandrum, but they seem to indicate that everything is okay with both those frequencies. I'm really at a bit of a loss to explain what could be the problem here, except that just perhaps it's this new aerial that has been put up. Perhaps it's discriminating against the BBC, though there are times and frequencies mentioned where reception is good, so clearly it's only when reception is becoming a bit critical, when our signal is not as strong as at other times.
Mr. Varghese says that he can't hear any frequency for any length of time. He can hear the Voice of America and Radio Moscow at full strength, but he can't hear us. Whatever can he do?
Well, it's quite normal to have to change frequency regularly, and if you can hear a frequency continuously on shortwave for more than an hour or so, then I would say you're being quite lucky. Having said that, we would expect that the frequencies that are on should be audible for longer than that. The comparison with the VOA is a little unfair, I think, because they have a relay station in Sri Lanka, of course, so their signals will be very strong down in southern India.
Yes, of course. And Radio Moscow.
Yes, they always seem to be able to produce good signals everywhere in the world. they have such a wide range of territory on which to site their transmitter sites that they can always find a good propagation path to wherever. And a north-south path down to southern India should be pretty good, I would think.
So you would say, really, that the cure lies in improving his aerial and in changing his frequency from time to time, in fact, more frequently than he does at the moment.
Well, when the aerial leaflet that we've sent you arrives, I would just have a look at what the direction is and how you've terminated the aerial, because it might just be that you're discriminating against the BBC transmitting stations, not for them.
Thank you for that advice, Mike Still. That's all we have for you this week. More advice and information at this time next week. Goodbye.